理课堂听 class.com。
Unit 2 Preview. As a learner of English, you are part of a huge and growing group of people all over the world. In Text B, you will read about the population of English speakers, who they are, and what they use English for, and discover that knowing English enables you to talk to people from all over the world. However,As the author of Text A explains, knowing the grammar and vocabulary of a language is not enough to communicate successfully. Different cultures have different communication styles. So, when communicating with people from other cultures, you need an understanding of each other's culture as well as a language in common. Still, words are the building blocks of a language.So the author of Text C offers you some practical study tips to help you expand your vocabulary in English.
Text A. Conversational Ball Games by Nancy Masterson Sakamoto. After I was married and had lived in Japan for a while, my Japanese gradually improved.To the point where I could take part in simple conversations with my husband, his friends, and family. And I began to notice that often, when I joined in, the others would look startled, and the conversation would come to a halt. After this happened several times, it became clear to me that I was doing something wrong. But for a long time, I didn't know what it was. Finally,After listening carefully to many Japanese conversations, I discovered what my problem was. Even though I was speaking Japanese, I was handling the conversation in a Western way. Japanese-style conversations develop quite differently from Western-style conversations, and the difference isn't only in the languages. I realized that, just as I kept trying to hold Western-style conversations,even when I was speaking Japanese, so were my English students trying to hold Japanese-style conversations even when they were speaking English. We were unconsciously playing entirely different conversational ball games. A Western-style conversation between two people is like a game of tennis. If I introduce a topic, a conversational ball, I expect you to hit it back.If you agree with me, I don't expect you simply to agree and do nothing more. I expect you to add something, a reason for agreeing, another example, or a remark to carry the idea further. But I don't expect you always to agree. I am just as happy if you question me, or challenge me, or completely disagree with me. Whether you agree or disagree, your response will return the ball to me.And then it is my turn again. I don't serve a new ball from my original starting line. I hit your ball back again from where it has bounced. I carry your idea further, or answer your questions or objections, or challenge or question you. And so the ball goes back and forth. If there are more than two people in the conversation, then it is like doubles in tennis, or like volleyball.There's no waiting in line. Whoever is nearest and quickest hits the ball. And if you step back, someone else will hit it. No one stops the game to give you a turn. You're responsible for taking your own turn, and no one person has the ball for very long. A Japanese-style conversation, however, is not at all like tennis or volleyball. It's like bowling. You wait for your turn,and you always know your place in line. It depends on such things as whether you are older or younger, a close friend or a relative stranger to the previous speaker, in a senior or junior position, and so on. The first thing is to wait for your turn, patiently and politely. When your moment comes, You step up to the starting line with your bowling ball and carefully bowl it. Everyone else stands back, making sounds of polite encouragement. Everyone waits until your ball has reached the end of the lane and watches to see if it knocks down all the pins, or only some of them, or none of them. Then there is a pause while everyone registers your score. Then, after everyone is sure that you are done, the next person in line steps up to the same starting line with a different ball. He doesn't return your ball. There is no back and forth at all, and there is always a suitable pause between turns. There is no rush, no impatience. No wonder everyone looked startled when I took part in Japanese conversations. I paid no attention to whose turn it was, and kept snatching the ball halfway down the alley and throwing it back at the bowler. Of course, the conversation fell apart. I was playing the wrong game. This explains why it can be so difficult to get a Western-style discussion going with Japanese students of English. Whenever I serve a volleyball, everyone just stands back and watches it fall. No one hits it back. Everyone waits until I call on someone to take a turn. And when that person speaks, he doesn't hit my ball back. He serves a new ball. Again, everyone just watches it fall. So I call on someone else. This person does not refer to what the previous speaker has said. He also serves a new ball. Everyone begins again from the same starting line, and all the balls run parallel. There is never any back and forth. Now that you know about the difference in the conversational ball games, you may think that all your troubles are over. But if you have been trained all your life to play one game, it is no simple matter to switch to another, even if you know the rules. Tennis, after all, is different from bowling.
New words.
Conversational.
Conversation.
Ball game.
Gradually.
Startle.
Halt.
Handle.
Style.
Unconsciously.
Challenge.
Disagree.
Response.
Original.
Bounce.
Objection.
Fourth.
Whoever.
Responsible.
Bowling.
Relative.
Previous.
Junior.
Bowl.
Lane.
Pin.
Register.
Suitable.
Impatience.
Snatch.
Alley.
Bowler.
Apart.
Parallel.
Switch.
Phrases and expressions.
Join in.
Come to a halt.
Even if. Even though.
Just as.
Back and forth.
And so on.
Knock down.
Fall apart.
Call on. Call upon.
Refer to.
After all.
Proper name.
Nancy Masterson Sakamoto. Text B. The Power of Words by Wanda Maureen Miller. You may wonder why you should improve your vocabulary. You may be satisfied with it. You can talk, understand other people when they talk, and read. Why learn fancy words that you won't use? The main reason for developing a better vocabulary is to receive and send out thoughts better. Not just words, but ideas that words represent. The person with a good vocabulary is impressive, it's true. But he or she is also better able to get across and understand complex thoughts. The power of words is so strong that it can even influence the way you see the world. Words not only reflect your thoughts, in some cases they can also help form them. For example,
A certain American Indian tribe does not have separate words in its language for yellow and orange. As a result, its members cannot distinguish between the two colors. Their language, or vocabulary, decided what they see. Words give you the building blocks with which you think. How many times have you been unable to tell your mechanic what's wrong with your car because you lack the vocabulary? How accurately can you describe a sunset if your vocabulary only includes words light and dark? However, simple words do not mean a simple mind. Many adults have mature, complex thoughts. But those thoughts come out garbled and too simple because of a small vocabulary. They have no choice but to use the same words to express too many different kinds of thoughts. Result? Poor communication. As Mark Twain put it, the difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between the lightning bug and the lightning. These adults with small vocabularies just cannot express fine shades of meaning. They may have, however, as much depth and insight as their more well-spoken friends. Perhaps the most impressive reason for vocabulary development is that a good vocabulary and success are synonymous. If you know that sin means same, nim means word, and aus is an adjective suffix, then you understand the sentence.
A good vocabulary can be an economic advantage. An institution for testing people's attitudes, the Human Engineering Laboratory, found that a good vocabulary is the only trait common to successful people. The lab has found that the highest scores on vocabulary tests have been made by people getting the highest pay. Why? Dr. Johnson O'Connor, the lab's director, explains it this way. Words are tools of thought. It is through words that people grasp the thoughts of others and do their own thinking. A good vocabulary also means academic success. There is a direct link between verbal ability and scores on intelligence or achievement tests. Many teachers think that the results of an IQ test and a vocabulary test will be about the same, and both predict success. In short, your vocabulary is your power. It determines the shape and size of your world. It tells who you can or cannot talk with. It says what books you can read and which ideas you can understand. It is your main link to other people. And the best thing about vocabulary is that, unlike your height or the shape of your face or your parents' income level, it is something you can easily control and improve. The best way to improve your vocabulary is through reading. The successful person reads a lot. We learn nearly all of our active vocabulary through context, and usually through context in reading. Words that we learn through their use in context are much more likely to stay with us than words we memorize by themselves, as in a list or in a dictionary. The words we learn through reading will improve not just our reading vocabulary, but our listening and writing vocabularies as well. It is these four types of vocabulary that have a direct impact upon our daily lives. They control how well we understand what we hear and read, and how well we speak and write. So we can see that vocabulary is so much more than fancy words you won't use. It represents your thoughts. It gives you social, economic, and academic power.
New words.
Fancy.
Represent.
Impressive.
Complex.
Influence.
Reflect.
Tribe.
Distinguish.
Mechanic.
Accurate.
Accurately.
Sunset.
Adult.
Mature.
Garble.
Communication.
Lightning.
Bug.
Lightning, bug.
Insight.
Well spoken.
Synonymous.
Adjective.
Suffix.
Economic.
Advantage.
Institution.
Attitude.
Engineering.
Trait.
Academic.
Link.
Verbal.
Intelligence.
IQ.
Predict.
Context.
Social.
Phrases and expressions.
Send out.
Get across.
In some cases.
As a result.
Come out.
Because of.
In short.
As well.
Proper names.
Wanda Maureen Miller.
Mark Twain.
Johnson O'Connor.
The Human Engineering Laboratory.
Text C.
How to Improve Your Vocabulary by Tony Randall. Words can make us laugh, cry, go to war, fall in love. Whether you're still in school or you head up a corporation, the better command you have of words, the better chance you have of saying exactly what you mean and of understanding what others mean. English is the richest language, with the largest vocabulary on earth, over 1 million words. Yet the average adult has a vocabulary of only 30,000 to 60,000 words. Imagine what we are missing. Here are 5 pieces of advice that help you learn and remember whole families of words at a time. What's the first thing to do when you see a word you don't know? 1. Try to guess the meaning of the word from the way it's used. You can often get at least part of a word's meaning just from how it's used in a sentence. That's why it's so important to read as much as you can. Different kinds of things, magazines, books, newspapers you don't usually read. The more you expose yourself to new words, the more words you'll pick up just by seeing how they're used. For instance, you run across the word manacle. The manacles had been on John's wrists for 30 years. Only one person had a key, his wife. You have a good idea of what manacles are just from the context of the sentence. But let's find out exactly what the word means and where it comes from. The only way to do this and to build a large vocabulary fast is to go to the dictionary. 2. Look it up. Here's the definition for manacle in an English dictionary. Manacle. Noun. Usually plural. 1. A device for confining the hands, a handcuff. 2. anything that confines or restrains. From Latin, manicula, diminutive of manus, hand. The first definition fits here. Well, that's what you thought it meant. But what's the idea behind the word? What are its roots? Here's where the detective work and the fun begins. 3. Dig the meaning out by the roots. The root is the basic part of the word. Most of our roots come from Latin and Greek words at least 2,000 years old. Learning the roots, 1. Helps us remember words, 2. Gives us a deeper understanding of the words we already know, and 3. Allows us to pick up whole families of new words at a time. Notice the root of manacle is manus, Latin, meaning hand. Well, that makes sense. Now, other words with this root, man, start to make sense too. Take manual, something done by hand, manual labor, or a handbook. And manage, to handle something as a manager. When you manufacture something, you make it by hand in its original meaning. And when you finish your first novel, your publisher will see your originally handwritten manuscript. Imagine, a whole new world of words opens up just from one simple root. The root gives the basic clue to the meaning of a word. But there's another important clue, the prefix. 4. Get the powerful prefixes under your belt. A prefix is the part that's sometimes attached to the front of a word. There aren't many, less than 100 major prefixes, and you'll learn them in no time at all just by becoming more aware of the meanings of words you already know. Here are a few. Prefix, Latin, com, C-O-M, con, C-O-N, co, C-O. Greek, sim, S-Y-M, sin, S-Y-N, meaning with. Examples, conform, the literal sense, form with. Latin, in, I-N, im, I-M, ill, I-L, ear, I-R. Greek, a, a-n, a-n. Meaning, not, without. Examples, innocent, literal sense, not wicked. Amorphous, literal sense, without form. Latin, contra, c-o-n-t-r-a. Greek, anti, A-N-T-I, ant, A-N-T, meaning against. Examples, contradict, literal sense, say against. Now, see how the prefix, along with the context, helps you get the meaning of the underlined word. Oh, that snake's not poisonous. It's a completely innocuous little garden snake. The literal meaning of innocuous is not harmful. Now, you've got some new words. What are you going to do with them? 5. Put your new words to work at once. Use them several times the first day you learn them. Say them out loud. Write them in sentences. Should you use them on friends? Careful, it depends on the situation. You know when a word sounds natural and when it sounds stuffy. How about your enemies? Ask one of them if he's read that article on pneumo-ultra-microscopic silico-volcano-coniosis. You really can find it in the dictionary. Now you're one up on him. That's all there is to it. You're off on your treasure hunt. Aristophanes said, by words the mind is excited, and the spirit elated. It's as true today as it was when he said it in Athens 2,400 years ago.